Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining us with another live episode of Love and Life. I'm your host, Raji Love. Yes, I am. And I'm joined this morning by my lovely co-host, Miss Kiki. Good morning, Kiki.
Good morning, good morning.
How are you this morning?
I am great this morning.
Well, all right. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So am I. So am I thus far. Thus far. Now, I don't know exactly what it is I'm going to be doing today, child. I have an idea of what I'm going to be doing, visiting people, but, you know, just not exactly sure where the day is going to lead. So I'm trying to hold on to a positive attitude all day. How about
that? All day.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So, meanwhile, what we're going to do, you know what I'm saying, we're going to just try to keep this day right along moving. But do you happen to have your birthday wishes with you? Because I know you just stepped out your door, and I wanted to make sure it was in the clear before I actually started going there. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. I just don't know what date
we're
going to
today. Okay, good. So what we're going to do is we're going to pull in the reins right at the 30 mark, I believe it is, September the 30th, which is Friday. Let me double-check that just to make sure, because you know when I start saying stuff, child, sometimes I got to double-check. So, yes, the 30 mark is where we're going to be going all the way up to, which is Friday.
All right.
So I'm going to start off by giving my birthday wishes. I just wanted to make sure you had George, you know what I'm saying, because I knew you stepped out your dough and stuff, trying to feed people. Yes. Mm-hmm. So.
And I thought people stay in there doing when they're trying to feed people.
Not always, honey. Not always. Sometimes. But, girl, I ain't got but two birthdays this week. How about that?
Oh, my.
Yes, just two. Coming up today, well, it's already today, should I say, yes. Today, I got to give out two special birthday wishes, one for grandmother who's passed long gone. Bless her heart, my grandmother, Fannie Mae Smith. Yes, bless her heart. I don't even know how old she would be today if she had still been alive, but I think she'd probably be around the 100 mark at this point. I would think if she was still alive, but yeah. But I had to say, you know, give her that special shout-out because, you know, it's always been a synonymous birthday because her birthday is also the birthday of my oldest brother, who is still alive. Yes. Mm-hmm. I believe he's in Colorado Springs or Arizona, somewhere in the Midwest or going towards that area-ish. Do they call that the Midwest over there around there?
I don't know.
Hello? These Sprint phones.
I'm sorry. You know I had to make the water.
I'm like, these Sprint phones? Jesus, what are we going to do with them?
No, it wasn't Sprint. You know I had to make that order.
Oh, what, girl? I'm like, shoot, I ain't there. I don't care. Okay. But, yes, so today is my brother's birthday. Yes, he's turning, I believe he's 50 years old today, or he might be turning 51 this year. I think he's 10 years older than me, so I'm going to say he's turning 50, but I can't remember. You know, it's either 50 or 51. You know how when birthdays fall in a certain, you know, pattern, and it's like, I believe he was, yes, I think he is 50. He's 10 years older than me. That's right, I believe, yes. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm going to stick with if it's not the truth. But, yes, that's what I'm going to stick with. But today is his birthday. That's my oldest brother, Gregory Clayton. Yeah. Happy birthday to you, big bro. Wherever you are today, hopefully you're enjoying your day and being blessed and whatnot. That's what the prayer and the hope is. Mm-hmm. Now, coming up on Tuesday, September the 27th, yes, Miss Letitia Danette is what she got herself known as on Facebook. Bless her heart. That's my cousin. My cousin. Yes. We were born the same year, just at two different points of the year. I'm a winter baby. She's a fall baby. Mm-hmm. So I was born at the beginning of the year in the wintertime. Yes. She was born at the end of the year in the fall. Turning that ripe old age of 40 years old, girl. Yes, ma'am, we in the club, ain't we, girl? Ain't we in that club? And we look good doing it, if you ask me. Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. Her birthday is followed Wednesday, September 28th, by my other cousin, Miss Crystal Williams Caesar. Mm-hmm. Now, she don't have her age on there, child, so I'm like, I ain't gonna blast you, girl. I ain't gonna blast you. My cousin, I ain't gonna do it. Because, see, when people don't put their age, I don't feel it's my place to say that, you know, how old they are, because I can only speculate at this point, you know. I don't keep up with everybody else's age, but I just know that they're older than I am. You know what I'm saying? Or they're younger. You know what I'm saying? Or they're younger than me. So it's like, but in her case, well, Crystal, I gotta say that you are my older cousin. Bless your heart. But you look good. See, my family looks very good for their age. I think they mainly age gracefully. You know what I'm saying? That's a blessing, I think. So hey, it is what it is, honey. But enjoy your birthday as it is, and that's my birthday wishes for the week. Yes.
Happy birthday, y'all. Happy
birthday, you all. Now, Miss Kiki, who you got to give a love to today?
All right. My high school friend, Miss Tatianisha.
I was about to say, wait a minute. Is that really her name?
Yeah, it's Tatianisha. Tatianisha. I was about to pronounce it wrong. I apologize, Tatianisha. You was my old doll, girl. Yes, my birthday is today.
It's Tatianisha. I'm like, girl, that's too many syllables.
Yeah, it's Tatianisha. T-A-hyphen-T-A-N-I-S-H-A, and her name is Tatianisha. Happy birthday, Tatianisha. I am not about to give a lesson on your name this morning. I'm just giving you your props on your birthday.
I'm going to still say entirely too much going on in that name. I'm sorry, girl.
Oh, don't you do it on her birthday, Roger.
Girl, I'm just saying.
I got you,
T. Well, she got that name on her birthday. Okay.
Just ratchet.
Girl.
Happy birthday, boo.
Hey.
Don't let her take down your joy, queen.
Girl, she ran out of letters, so she put syllables in there. She put symbols in it, child. I'm like,
ooh,
all right.
Roger, now we show I love her birthday.
Girl, that's all the love, child. That is all out of love. I have love for her to tell her that she got too much going on in that name.
I love your name, T. I love your name, Tatiana.
Bless Tatiana. Her heart, but yes, girl, it's all love. It's all love.
Oh, okay, moving right along. On September 27th, I have Donovan Blake. Happy birthday, Donovan.
All right.
On September 28th, Miss Erin Apache St. Romaine. His birthday is September 28th. He turns 44. Mm-hmm. On September 30th, we know him as Cone Breed. He's 38. But his real name is Larry McGee. Happy birthday, Larry McGee.
Okay.
Also on September 30th, we have Desmond Coach Boo Johnson, turns 41 on September 30th. Also 41? On September 30th. I'm sorry, yeah, 41, yeah.
Okay.
Also, we have my girl. Yeah, her little sister. I grew up with y'all. We act the fool with my sister, and that's Miss Aisha Carter. Happy birthday, Miss Aisha Carter. And that's my birthday wish for the week.
All right. Let it be. Happy birthday, y'all, and drunken stuff. Yeah, okay. Now, you got a whole lot of birthday wishes. I may have only three to give out.
Yes.
So I'm like, okay, then, but yes. I think I'm going to have to come catch up with you, though, because I got a lot of them coming up next week.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Now, moving right along, mm-hmm. What I'm going to do is, girl, I'm going to start off talking about that situation about this video that everybody's talking about. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know what video I'm talking about, it's the one where this police officer, another Caucasian person, basically shooting another unarmed black man in its own video. And it's like, okay. Hmm.
Well, I'm going to tell you like Oprah said, and I know some people don't understand Oprah, Mm-hmm. A lot of people do. And the ones that don't understand is because you don't understand her struggle.
Okay.
But let me explain Oprah to you. She a realist, and that's how she became a billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
And she simplifies things so the multitude can understand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the Oprah Winfrey Show was so popular.
Yes.
So let me specify the way she did. She tired of all these Emmett Till's in this 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if a lot of people understood what she was saying. In a sense, black men being killed ever already.
Mm-hmm.
Like little Emmett Till.
Mm-hmm.
And all he did was speak to a woman because he was from Chicago. Up north, they could speak to a Caucasian woman. But he came down to Mississippi, and he spoke to a white woman. And she said, how dare him? And they dragged him in the car. They tied him up to the front of the car, and they dragged him in front of his grandmother and his mama.
Mm-hmm.
And then they tortured him. And let me tell you the worst part about it, Emmett Till wasn't even yet.
That's one thing that they never actually, I think, clarified in history about how old he was.
Yeah, Emmett Till was 11 or 12. My grandmother said she had to drive to his grandmother's house. She said it was the saddest day of her life to see how somebody could drag this child that wasn't even 14 yet.
Mm-hmm.
And they tortured this child for speaking
to
a lady of another race. So what Oprah is trying to tell y'all is she tired. She said she tired. Woo!
Yes,
Oprah says she said she's tired.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if y'all know, but everybody should be getting tired.
I'm tired, Jada. And another thing that I'm tired of that goes along with that is when people try to give some other kind of explanation.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Now, and I say that because, you know, a conversation that came up on Facebook, you know, sister being the political person that she is. You know, should I say the politically incorrect person that she might be sometimes. She posted the video, but she said she didn't even watch the video, and me neither, because I'm like, I'm getting tired of seeing these images for real. I'm really tired of seeing these images. So I didn't watch the video, but, of course, I know what happened because, of course, everybody's talking about it. So in knowing what happened, I read the paragraphs, you know, that was below the video itself, at least on her page, should I say, to say what actually happened. And then, of course, now you get people that actually make their own comments, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, what is it about to be said now, child? So, yes, of course, now there was this gentleman. I'm going to leave it at that. I'm going to call him a gentleman because that's all I'm going to say about him. That basically posted his post on my, or his comment, should I say, on his, on my sister's post. And I'm going to read it to you so you can just see that it's just not me. So hold on, let me get to it really quickly. Where you at, my sister? My sister. My sister. Okay, no, that's not the one. Okay, yes, that's the one. Okay. Now, what he said was, and I'm going to read it to you now. He may have been unarmed, but that word right there, but sounds like a justification is about to try to happen. He may have been unarmed, but he wasn't following orders. And was reaching into that car. Think about it. When a cop stops you and you do as they say, you aren't in risk of getting shot. It's when people don't listen and the cops make a judgment call.
to kill someone, that's not their call. When did they become God?
Well, see, now this is the thing now. My sister, you know, she went into it. You know, she was saying the cops didn't stop him. His vehicle did. His window was up, and so was his hands. So now when you're saying he was reaching into a car, now they showed the picture of the car because everybody kept trying to say that he was reaching into the car. Now, when you're seeing that image of the car window being up, my thing is, unless he's an apparition where, you know, they can actually go through objects, you know what I'm saying? It'd be kind of, like, impossible for him to just reach through that window unless he did a David Copperfield kind of thing, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if the window itself was a hologram, but it looked like it was damn near up for me, you know? So I don't know how his hand got through that window if he was reaching in it. That's my thought on that. But at the same time, now, he said that they was not listening, right? And when,
right.
But he also said that when you are listening to what the cops said, then you don't get shot. But what happened with Michael Brown then? Michael Brown was on his knees in the middle of the street with his hands raised. I mean, wasn't they telling him to get down or something? I mean, if a person is subduing themselves for you and you still shoot them,
mm-hmm.
Really?
Right.
What other kind of, you know, unresistant movement do a person have to make for you not to pull your gun and shoot them? Now, what I actually said, now, you know, at first I was trying to be dignified, you know, so I'm going to say what I actually said at first. Now, people that always be listening, kind of hearing me saying stuff, will be just quick to say that I'm being racist because I point out some obvious shit sometimes. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
You know, I try to be mindful of the words that I say so people won't mistake it for being racist, but being factual, okay?
Oh, well,
so my
response
was, you know, years ago, there was this show that came on TV called Cops.
Mm-hmm.
Cops are spelled in big letters because that's how they was on the show, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So if you've ever watched it, but in most of those episodes, you would find car and foot chases, drunk drivers, domestic disputes, and a whole lot of fighting and resistance. With all these things going on and then some, not once did they ever have to kill someone
all right, now
to get them to cooperate or in handcuffs.
Do I need to get my collection, please?
Hello? Hello, somebody, as Miss Sophia would say. If an officer does not clearly see a weapon, they have no ground to shoot.
Not a one.
That's what I actually said that time. Now, my sister came back and said, well, you know, that was what it started showing everything that we did in behind the scenes, right? But you know what? That may be the case. So this is when I got a little bit more indignant. So if you're around the kiddies, girl, you might want to put me on mute or something.
No, okay.
So I said then to that response, you know, my sister wasn't, you know, giving a defense, but she was just saying. But I said, but that may be the case. But my point to this guy, because that's what I was, like I said, I was trying not to be disrespectful. My point to this guy, who also responded, is that officers are trained in many ways of defusing situations that does not leave someone dead. Do not try to justify that bitch's actions. I had to get a little bit indignant on that one because, that was truly the thing, because my thing is when people start posting the stuff that he's posting, trying to justify what she actually did, well, if they would have listened, bullshit. bullshit, because people listen and still get shot by the police at this point.
Hello?
Are putting their hands up, being down, and face down, and they still getting shot in the doggone back.
Hmm.
You know, has he not seen the movie Fruit Tail?
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, what else do a person have to do? Pull the gun out on themselves to make sure they don't move? What?
Hello?
I'm getting sick of these idiot people. Now, I have to say idiot today because I'm on the radio show and I got to keep it real. I'm getting sick of these idiot people that be posting this kind of stuff, trying to make some kind of justification saying, well, you don't know, he might have. Please. We don't live in a might factor here, especially when it comes to a police officer. They're supposed to serve and protect people, not just kill people at will because they didn't know if they was reaching for a gun or not. And even if they were reaching for a gun, again, an officer is not supposed to shoot unless they see a weapon. And if your eyes are playing tricks on you and you see stuff that's not there, then you don't need to be a police officer. You don't need to be in that position because your eyes are getting people killed. You know what I'm saying? Me crazy. Mm-hmm. But yes, I had to talk about that because I've been seeing it all week, and I don't even know when this incident actually even happened. Did you know when it happened? Okay, y'all, she's actually distributing food, so give her a moment. She's going to collect her thoughts. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, I am going to talk about this whole thing that I keep seeing with, you know, Donald Trump. As usual, saying something. I'm not going to even talk about that because it's the same story, just a different day. He's always saying something stupid, always saying something that's going to get people, you know, mad at him because that's what he does. And a lot of times it's his own GOP party that's always, you know, mad at him. So it's like, it's just redundant now. Yeah. He's staying true to form. We just don't want y'all to vote for him. Please don't vote for him, people. Please don't vote for him. Please, I beg of you. Mm-hmm. Now. No, I know. I know what you were doing. I know. I know.
Everyone on the same page right now.
Yes, people were eating. That's what, like I said, y'all got to excuse her. She's giving out food right now. Bless her heart. She's doing the Christian thing.
Y'all got to run back and get one more
food. Look, she's feeding a displaced family. Let me stop. That's her sister and her husband and her kids visiting her. Bless her heart. Yeah. But yes, girl. So yes, I was about to start talking about the Donald, but I'm like, you know what? I ain't gonna do it no more. Mm-mm. You know, the election is almost here. You know, it's less than 2 months. Well, less than a month away now. No, a month and so, rather.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah. I just hope people. I truly hope and pray, girl. I'm hoping and praying that people are not being as dumb as they are coming across to be. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I'm just hoping that people realize, especially, I don't know if you saw the one with the helicopter guy that said when a man was killed with his hands up.
Mm-hmm.
He was in a helicopter, 50 feet. I think it was 50, it might have been 40. Feet up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Dead. Oh, he looks like a bad guy. Really?
And what does a bad guy look like?
At 40 feet ahead.
Right. What did the man look like? I mean, because from that distance, all you see is an African-American guy. So
you don't even see that? You just see a black guy.
Yeah, so is that what, you know, bad guys look like, African-American men?
Right.
You know, I mean, for real, when people start trying to put stuff out there, well, he looks like a bad guy. But then they say that that person that was in the helicopter was that woman's fiance or husband or whoever it was, somebody to her.
Well, she has been charged.
For manslaughter.
As long as they're charged, I could care less. As long as in their state, it's a mandatory sentence of 20 years.
My thing is this. She's been charged with a lesser charge, but then my thing is like, okay, let's see if there's a conviction. Charges mean a darn thing to me when it comes to these police officers because they've all been charged with stuff.
Right, right.
How many convictions we've had thus far?
Well, in the state of Louisiana, Gretna, Louisiana, to be exact, a police officer had a handcuffed man. He didn't kill him, though. He kicked him while he was in handcuffs, and he beat him really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And in Gretna, they did their own internal investigation.
Mm-hmm.
But this particular case is called a surveillance case by an outsider, an outside company that wasn't fit. Threatened the police department. So, the young man was vindicated. The officer was convicted of
police brutality.
Pretty much malfeasance in office and a whole bunch of other stuff. And he received 15 years in prison. So, shout out to the prison, I mean, to the judge. Who decided to stand up for people.
Amen.
Hmm.
Amen. Because, yes, that kind of stuff happens. But you know what? And I would even go so far to say this. Now, I have not lived in New Orleans, girl, for the past, 17 years now. Almost, well, you know, it's been 17 years. I must say almost 18, but 17 years, 17 and a half years at this point, yeah. And I don't know what the atmosphere is like as far as what's, you know, been going on lately. Now, of course, you know, I have you to tell me, and then I have other people that live there to tell me about the stuff that's going on. But most of the stuff that I hear that's going on, it's isolated situations in New Orleans itself, but outside of New Orleans where the backwater, you know, marshlands and, you know, Cajun country kind of areas are that's outside of the city itself. Now, being in the city when I was there, I can say at least from my own experience, and you know I grew up in, I guess, the hood of New Orleans, the West Bank, I say the hood. But,
no, you didn't.
Huh?
No, you didn't.
Yeah, from the hood of West Bank, girl, the villa was not considered ritzy.
No, but it wasn't hood either.
Yes, ma'am, it was. The have you been in the villa before?
I used to hang in the villa.
Girl, I used to live there. So, yeah, it was definitely a hood. Now, I'm not saying it was the Fisher, okay?
Right, that's what I'm saying.
I'm not saying it was the Fisher. Now, the Fisher, to me, is like the epitome of hood. The Fisher was like the equivalent to what they called, the Ninth Ward on the other side?
Right, and you have to remember, I used to hang in the project on the other side.
Yeah. Now, Villa de Ames, it was still, like I said, to me, it was still hood because of everything that went down, and a lot of stuff happened and it went down in the villa. It did. It was hood. It might not have been, like I said, so much as like Chirac or what they call it now in Chicago.
Right.
But it was what it was. It was still hood nonetheless. But it's like even still, but being in, you know, on the West Bank, I'm going to say, just in general,
mm-hmm.
I personally never felt racism, you know, coming from any aspect of my growing up. I never really saw racism faced forward until I actually moved here to Georgia.
Right.
And that was 17 years ago. Now, I'm not saying that it did not exist in New Orleans, because it may very well have. You know, when you have different races, different classes of people in different places, these kind of things can definitely be a factor and happen. Never seen it. You know what I'm saying? I've never heard situations about it, because in where it was, it's like, you know, there were neighborhoods, should I say, that was like what we considered the upscale neighborhoods. And true enough, yeah, there were white people that lived there, but there were also some few black people that lived there. So it was like, oh, they must have money. You know, that was the whole consensus, at least from what I, you know, grew up understanding. They have money. Now, if there was any kind of, you know, division or tension amongst those people there, I don't know, because I didn't grow up in that neighborhood. I was not there. But we went to school, and I went to the one of the, I'm going to say it was the largest on the West Bank, I think, John Aaron High School. You know what I'm saying? Hey, shout out to the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
It was the largest high school on that side of the city. And it was a huge mix of people. There was I don't know what the actual average was per the percentage of races, but it was just a big gumbo pot of people. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's like there was a whole lot of different people. So it was like to be in that atmosphere growing up, there was never any kind of, you know, racial tension that we I've actually experienced, should I say. So,
well, we did have the skinheads that went there.
Really?
They used to sit under the tree in the back. We did have the militant, black folks. We did have a little bit of everybody. Thing was, we learned how to live together without
exist.
Mm-hmm. But now,
that's why I said, I guess for me, I never, like I said, to me, even the skinheads, to me, they were just white guys that shaved their heads.
Right.
I never understood that it was an actual race, you know, quote unquote, thing to do until, like I said, until after I got here and grew up, you know.
Right.
After
I grew up.
Yeah, that's what
you're saying. We did have, because I know my cousin coming from the city, she went to a very high, popular African-American school.
Mm-hmm.
But she was more into heavy metal on the block and things like that. And her school looked down upon that. So I'm not just saying it's racism against white people. It was racism against her own race, because she was listening to uncultural music for them. Until she came to
it was more or less not really racism, but literal cultural.
Well, no, they were racist by she wore like Bon Jovi on her shirt. What you doing with that guy? You know, things like that.
Oh, yeah.
So they were racist. She was in love with John Bon Jovi, and they thought that was the worst thing since sliced bread to do. So they were very racist. So I'm not saying there's just race on one side of the fence. There's racism on both.
Yeah.
So to expound upon that, Louis Farrakhan is now asking for it, because I don't know if everybody knows, Dr. King, right before he died, he realized, why do we want to segregate? After he did all these sweat, blood, and tears, all this going to jail and things like that, but I understood why he wanted to do it, why y'all have the clean faucets and we have the dirty.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he wanted to do it. He wanted equal opportunity. If y'all can sit in the front, why we can't sit in the front?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he wanted to do it. But now, I mean, but as it got closer to him being killed, he was pretty much saying we can coexist without cohabitating together, because you will never understand our struggle. And he started realizing that as he started getting, as it got closer to him getting killed.
Mm.
Now, Louis Farrakhan is calling back for the same thing. He don't want us to be together. He wants to separate again. Because he said, maybe our cops can treat our people a little different. And y'all cops can treat y'all a little different. And yeah, it might sound racist, but we are talking about Louis Farrakhan. We need our own stores. We need our own schools. But now that we have the resources, not like back then in the 50s and 60s, when we had limited resources, so we wanted to segregate because we wanted the bigger schools. We wanted the nicer malls. We have that resources now. So we can do that in our own community. And that's what he's shooting for right now. And people starting to listen because they're tired of people shooting because of a color of a skin.
You know what? See, and this is my thing when it comes down to it. You know, I always say, child, instead of trying to deal with a problem from the middle or the end, you got to get to the source of it to me, where it starts, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
where's that?
Hmm?
And you start to trade on money. Where is that?
I'm not talking about the time frame. I'm talking about where it starts as far as, where, you know, the actual problem itself. The problem itself to me is too many people, I believe, feel like they should have a control of what goes on in this world as if it's something that they created. They created this earth, so they feel like they should be able to dictate who does what and who says what and who lives where and all that kind of stuff. My thing is that this earth was created, and it was created for everybody and everything that is in it. And it was created with the idea of everybody and everything living in a harmonious way, because that's what it was put here for. But people keep getting this idea like, well, if I was at this point in this place, then I should say what happens and who lives around me and who does this and who does that. Go back to where you came from and go back to where you came from. If we all went back to where we came from, we'd all go back to Eve if that's the case. It's like... Mm-hmm. We all came from the same place,
originally.
You know what I'm saying? So why now is like, do people want to have it in their heads that they should be able to say who does what, who lives where, who communes with who? It's like, really? That ain't your judgment. That's not your call. You were not born with that right. And I think if people can truly get that out of their mind frame,
and I got a
question. Girl can definitely move forward with it.
Right. I got a question for you, Raga. They always say go back to where you came from. But if you were born here and your mama was born here,
mm-hmm.
and your grandparents were born here,
mm-hmm.
what do you want?
Exactly. My thing is okay, well, why don't you go back to where you came from if that's the case? You didn't originate, your history did not originate in Cleveland. You know what I'm saying? Your history did not originate in Louisiana, if that's what you're talking about. Because if we're going to go back in history, then why don't you go back in history? Again, because if we all went back to where we came from, we'd be going back to Africa where Eve was. Wherever the Garden of Eden was, that's where we would all be going back to. Because that's where we came from. Oh,
I still don't understand it because I can't go back to somewhere.
You ain't never been.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly, and I get that. I get that, too. But, again, that goes back to that mentality of somebody thinking that, okay, they have the right to tell people where they can and cannot dwell and can and cannot be in this earth that was created for everybody to live in. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
God created this earth for everybody that's in it, because if we were not meant to be here, then guess what? We
wouldn't
be here. Exactly. But people keep it in their head that it's their right, which I don't even know when that whole idea actually came about. Because I can't say that it started with, you know, the people that came here to this country. Because, no, that idea had to be in their head somewhere else beforehand. I can't say it started when the tower risen of Babylon, whatever, you know, that thing. I can't
mm-hmm.
say that it had happened then. I can only say that at some point, after Eve gave birth to her children,
mm-hmm.
and they were fighting, whoever it was, what's his name? What's the kid's name? Now, you know I'm losing all my memory if I can't remember who Adam and Eve kids was. Cain and Abel, there we go. They were fighting. And it's like, okay, at some point, somebody said, well, I'm going to dwell over here, you go dwell over there, don't come back over here, kind of thing. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like at some point it happens to where somebody felt like, okay, well, this is my dwelling place. Don't come here because I don't want you here. And it just trickled down from there. And it manifests in different ways, true enough, but at the same time, it's like whoever gave them that right to say that. God did not tell you, okay, well, this is going to be your place, so if somebody come over here, kill them. You know? That ain't in the Bible.
Right.
He created these places, and the only thing that he told them not to do was not to eat from that tree. But they did that anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, again, you can't tell people what to do. Apparently, if they didn't listen to God when he was actually dwelling with them here, you know, that's just how people are. So it's like if we can get to a point, like I said, to kill that in everybody, to think that this is my dwelling place, you have no place here, you have no right here. If we can get that out of people's minds, that can eradicate racism.
Wow.
That right there could eradicate racism. Because we are all in this earth, we are all living on this land, and we were all given the right to dwell wherever it is our feet actually tread when God put us here. He did not put us here to say that, well, you can't go this place or you can't go over there. You know what I'm saying? He put us here and was like, you know what, be fruitful and multiply. That's what he said. Hello?
Hello?
So in that instance, when people are always talking about some, well, okay, well, if we just separate or if we do this or if we do that, I'm like, separating is not going to make anything any better because, A, that's too many people in this country alone to be trying to separate. B, you have to go back into which, figuring out, okay, well, which place do I go to now? Because if you look at everybody's DNA, how many of us are 100% anything? So where do we go? You know?
Hallelujah. I think you better preach on that, right?
Hello? Where do we go? If we are all mixed up with something somewhere down the line, where do we go? I'm like, from my understanding, my grandmother was at some point, you know, Indian in her family. And, of course, African is in the family. But then with everything that's going on with slavery, there might be some white people in the family. Where am I going to go? I grew up in New Orleans, but I'm living here for the past 17 years in Atlanta. Where am I going? Where do any of us go if that's the case? How do we divide ourselves and create what they call these communities? I mean, just because we've been forced into certain areas does not mean that that's the community that I want to actually live in. You know what I'm saying? So where do we go? It's like, okay, separation, never an answer. I should be able to live exactly wherever the hell I bought a house. If I bought the house there, then I should be able to live there. How about that? How about that? I should be able to live wherever it is I would like to live. Can't nobody tell me that, okay, because I'm an African-American man that I can't live in Alabama or I can't live in Mississippi, even though I wouldn't want to live in Mississippi, but, you know, I'm just saying. I'm just saying. No shade to those who live there, but I'm just saying, not for me. But that's the way it is. If we can get that mentality out of the heads of thinking that we could tell people where they can and cannot and do what, you know, just get that out of your head, because that's not your right. It is not your right. And on that note, Miss Kiki, we'll be back tomorrow. We're going to have some more stuff to talk about tomorrow. Same bad time, same bad channel, 9 a.m. my time, 8 a.m. y'all time. Like us on Facebook at Love and Life. You can like us individually at Raji Love. Bryant, that is me. Miss Kia Walker, that is she. And, of course, give a shout-out to our girl, Miss Mahogany Wood, because you know she would. Hello. But until tomorrow, y'all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.